We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
I want to take a moment and brag on, I could brag on all our volunteers, but I want to. You found her. She can stay. She can hang out. I've done a lot of VBSs in my career, and I have never seen anyone run as slow as Leah. I have never had a VBS as great as the one since I've been here. Under Leah's direction, your water fell again. We have the best props ever assembled. I'm a little disappointed in her this year because it's not filled with styrofoam everywhere. Next year, there'll just be more styrofoam, but they are beautiful. In fact, there's a church that wants to borrow them, and Leah's going to help with that. But I want to thank you, Leah, because of you. If you just read Facebook posts, lives are changed. You did an amazing job. Thank you. Also, we have a this youth director worship lady. I want to just tell you what she did. She went to a work camp Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with a bunch of middle school kids in Lake Jackson, which means she didn't sleep Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? She comes back with those kids on Sunday, and she doesn't go home. She stays here, and she gets all the stuff, helps Leah get stuff ready. And then if you would have seen Kimball Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, with no sleep, no catch-up rest, she was a rock star. And I just want, Kimball, you're amazing. Way to go. I figure if I brag enough, I won't have to preach. I want to also welcome RDS. Tony and his wife, Michelle, are here. Tony, wave, in case people don't know you. Tony did not get the memo about Hawaiian shirts, so he's in a tie. I think we should make him take it off and be one of us. But he's my DS. And every time a DS comes, I always get nervous, like I'm a wreck. So I have a question for the general public. How many of you have ever been lost? Lost? Bad directions? Don't know where you are? Don't know where you're going? Don't know how you got there? Raise your hand. Good. I'm not alone. Jill can tell you better than anyone. I have a less than stellar sense of direction. If not for Jill, I would be lost driving most of the time. Now, that used to bother me until this past week, because this past week, I read an article about a study that this company, Telsav, does, and they make GPS devices. And they claim that men do get lost more than women. However, they say the reason why men have bad sense of direction, why men sometimes often get lost, is because we have an innate sense to find adventure and to roam. And that's just how God wired us, created. Hey, I didn't do the study. I'm just telling you what it said. Now, however, it did also say it would help if men would sometimes stop and ask directions. In fact, according to this study, in a male's lifetime, the average man will drive 900 more miles than they need to because they will not ask directions. I had biblical scholars tell me that the reason why the Israelites wandered in the wilderness had nothing to do with being punished, but because Moses wouldn't stop asking. I don't know if that's true, but I get lost. And when I get lost, I usually get frustrated. I feel dumb because I did something not too bright, right? Sometimes I get a little bit fearful. I'm afraid that I'm going to be late to wherever I'm going, or more likely than not, I'm a little fearful that I don't know how to get back to where I want to be because I keep taking wrong turns. But since most of you have raised your hands and said you've gotten lost, you understand. So I'm going to ask that you stand for a moment. Stand. And I want you to greet one another. And when you do, share about the worst time that you've been lost. Go ahead. Take a moment. And go ahead, have a seat. Am I on now? Have a seat. What? Go ahead, have a seat. Does anybody want to share about their lost experience? No, okay. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at this passage. We're not going to be long because the kids are going crazy. Don't you love that sound? There are churches in this annual conference that would kill to have children having fun or crying in church, because if you go to their church, there are no children. And we have that, and I love that sound. Here's what Jesus says as Luke records it. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." See, that's one of the big problems the Pharisees had with Jesus. It was that they had spent their entire lives trying to show people how they should live. They spent their lives making a standard of how to live a life that is pleasing to God. And here comes Jesus, and he begins to hang out with the very people the Pharisees were trying to teach. And not only does he hang out, he eats dinner with them, he drinks wine with them, he laughs with them, he visits their house, he spends the night. And it got the religious leaders of the day, well, it got them a little bit mad, because they believed that a righteous person should only hang out with righteous people and not those people. And so they came to Jesus to complain. And in the midst, after Jesus listened to their complaints, this is what he said. So he told them a parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he found it, He lays on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The key to that is that fourth verse. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 and go look for the lost? Now, the logical answer to that would be none of us do that. Because what shepherd in their right mind would leave 99 sheep in danger to go find the one? No one. It is totally illogical. And then he follows it up with another story. He says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And again, the story makes no sense. I mean, after all, who would find a coin and then spend twice as much celebrating the coin you just lost? It is totally illogical. And for the Pharisees who were in Jesus' day, they had a really difficult time dealing with things that did not make sense, things that did not fit their understanding of how things should be. And these two parables bothered the Pharisees probably as much as any other parables that were told, because in their minds, they were the 99. They were the ones who never left. They were the ones who never got lost. They were the ones who always were righteous and staying with God, and they believed God should only hang out with people like them. Now, I don't know about you, but those are two of my favorite parables. Even though I've heard them hundreds of times, even though I've preached on them over the years, probably 10 or 12 times, there's still a sense of awe when I read them. Mostly because when I read those, I think back to years ago when I was the one Jesus left the 99 for. I think back to a time a long time ago when Jesus cleaned out a house looking for me. And it makes me smile to think that I have a God who does the most illogical things because he loves me. And the same God who does that for me at one time did it for most of you, leaving the 99 to find you. Now, the reason why that makes me smile, because if I'm honest with you, there are times in my life where I still feel kind of lost. And I'm not talking lost physically because I didn't turn the GPS on or didn't have Jill with her map telling me which direction to go, but lost because my life has gotten a little out of whack. Has that ever happened to any of you? You watch the news and you start wondering where God is and all of that. Bless you. You know people who are struggling with cancer or heart issues, sickness and disease, and you stand at their bed, and I am supposed to pray for them, and you begin to wonder, where is God in all of that? Or maybe it happens for me when I have someone in my office and they're talking about the pain and the hurt of a broken relationship. And I think back to my own divorce, and I sometimes feel lost and wonder, where is God in that? And when I get that way, I like to read the 15th chapter of Luke to remind me that I have a God who will leave the 99 and go looking for me. And when he finds me, he picks me up in his arms and he carries me home. And I remember that no matter what I go through, I am not alone. And that gives me peace. Now this week, I sat down in the sanctuary and I listened to Leah tell the story lessons, and I watched Jim do Jim things, right? And I was supposed to preach on Psalm 91, which is why that's in your bulletin. But all week, the only thing I could think of was Luke 15. Because the lesson that Leah and Jim taught our kids and youth and adults every day is that when you feel lost, Jesus will leave the 99 to find you because, are you ready, kids? I want you to stand up. All the kids, stand up on the pews. Let's go. This is your big line. Get on the pews so we can hear you. Get on the pews. I'm the preacher. I'm telling you it's okay. Rocky, close your eyes. All trustees, close their eyes. All right. Hey, do you stand on your furniture at the house? Okay, ready? We learn that when you get lost, when you get worried, when you feel powerless, when you feel alone, what did we learn?
Jesus.
Go ahead, have a seat. And that's the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, I know there are people here this morning, and I know this because I've sat with you, who might feel a little lost. I know there are people here this morning who are sitting by themselves because their loved one, their spouse, the one they went to church with for years has passed away. And they wake up every morning and they feel a little lost. Well, the good news is Jesus rescues. And I know there are people here this morning who are struggling with medical issues. They have diagnosis of lymphoma, leukemia, cancer, heart problems, and they wonder what the future holds. And the good news is Jesus rescues. And I know there's people here whose relationships are falling apart. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. They wonder what's happened to their kids, to their grandkids, to their spouse. And the good news of the gospel is Jesus rescues. And what I love most about what Leah taught our kids is that even when Jesus rescues you, he never promises that life is going to be a piece of cake. I mean, what she told them, even when you find God, God finds you, and he rescues you off the island like he did Jim, you're still going to have times when you feel lost. You're still going to have times when medical results don't turn out like you want. You're still going to stand by the grave of a loved one. You're still going to end relationships that you thought would never end. The pain and the loneliness and the worry and the anxiety doesn't go away. But what she taught the kids is that because Jesus is willing to leave the 99, He will find each one of us, no matter where we are, and He will comfort us, and He will remind us that we are not alone, that He is with us. Now, what Group Magazine didn't do is to remind them the next part of that, because not only when Jesus rescues us, is God with us? But here's the really good news. We are not alone because we have one another. We have a community that we can lean on. People who are going to love us, people who are going to embrace us, people who are going to hold our hand and walk through whatever it is we're walking through, because Jesus rescues. And He also gives us one another. You see, the reality is, when I feel lost, when I feel afraid, when I feel worried or alone, I have you to walk with me. And you have each other. And that's the gospel. Because the good news is, at the end of the day, why don't everyone stand? And let's get this all right. Do we have it up there? Are you going to flash the answer up there? Right? The good news is, at the end of the day, and that's the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And would you receive this benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, He doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless, and we'll see you next week.